Meg Gillard will now come and share our morning gospel reading.
This is a reading from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for the people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets.
When I was growing up, there was sort of a standing joke between my mom and dad. My mom tended to be a very positive, upbeat, optimistic kind of person. My dad, she would say, was a pessimist, tended to be a little anxious, could always see what the problem might be. He would say, however, that he was a realist. I think in this story, Philip and Andrew probably both would say they were just being realist. They were being realistic. Philip says, "It would take 6 months' worth of wages to begin to try to feed this crowd, and even then it wouldn't be enough, except for give them all just a little bit." And Andrew says, "Well, there's this one kid with a lunch, but, you know, what is that among so many?" So they thought they were being realist, like we so often do. Often we're taught, we think we got to count the cost, you got to figure things out. So we say, there's not enough money. There's not enough resources. What's the little we have? What difference could it make? A problem or a need that's so great and what we have to offer is so small. But in this story, we see that Jesus operates from a different paradigm. I wouldn't call him an optimist. I don't think that's really what we're seeing here. What we see is that Jesus took what there was, the gift that was offered, the one lunch, and he gave thanks to God, and then he gave it away. And somehow, and again, these stories don't tell us how, somehow there was enough for everyone and left over. There was more than enough. 12 baskets full of leftovers. Several phrases jump out, don't they? They were all satisfied. Bill and I have read somewhere in recent years that at that time, when archaeologists discover remains, you know, bones of people from that time in Palestine, 90% of them show evidence of malnutrition. These were poor people. These were people who struggled to just get by. The idea that you could have enough, more than enough, to all be 5,000 plus, be fully satisfied, and still have leftovers was mind-boggling to them. This is the only miracle story that shows up in all four Gospels, although it's interesting, of course, each version's a little different. God's abundance is on full display here. God's generosity, God's more than enough giving. God's Spirit is always in that giving mode, and we see Jesus' capacity to trust that, to be thankful for that, to lean into that, and to act on that in a way that took a lot of courage. I mean, does it strike you? He told them all, sit down, get organized, before he had somehow multiplied the food. He gave thanks before he had multiplied the food, and yet there was enough. Some people like to try to figure out how that had happened. Were other people who had things ferreted away in their pockets inspired by the boy's giving and decided, well, maybe I could share a little bit too? Or did Jesus literally take those breads and that fish and turn it into enough for so many people? We don't know. The story is clear that it happened. And so this strikes me as I think about this, of how much of the time we operate from the scarcity model. We operate from the realist model. Well, we're so small, we're not that many. What difference can we make? The world is full of so many huge and overwhelming problems. Take your pick. Violence, war, climate change, racial injustice, divisions among people, political polarization. We can just enumerate one thing after another that feels overwhelming and insurmountable. And yet, the call of faith is to give what we have, to be thankful for what we have, to share what we have, and to trust that somehow God's Spirit is capable of using who we are and what we are to make a difference, to be more than we are. Somehow I found myself this week thinking of the Apostle Paul, who in a different context, writing to the Corinthians, talks about he's had these great mystical experiences, and yet he said, I have this thorn in the flesh. I have this problem. He doesn't tell us what it was. Again, people speculate. But he had this problem, and he said, I prayed and prayed to God to take it away. And God's answer to me is, my grace is sufficient. My power, God's power, is made perfect in weakness. God's power shows up when we don't have enough out of on our own. We are tempted to try to do things out of our own power and our own strength. And again, we run up against our limits, our inabilities, our insufficiencies. And God's response is, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, I have learned to boast in my weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. There is a very true sense that the whole life and ministry of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, show us his weakness, his failure, his lack of success. And yet, the power of the gospel is that God's grace was made manifest, God's power, God's sufficiency, God's overwhelming, abundant goodness revealed to us in Christ's brokenness, in Christ's weakness. And so we come to this table to celebrate that he died. We celebrate that he gave his life, not that he triumphed, but that he was broken. And yet somehow in the receiving of that, in the taking of that into the way we live our lives, we know God's grace. We experience God's power, and we are empowered to live by faith, trusting that what we have and who we are is enough. Because God is more than enough. God's grace is sufficient for us in whatever may come, whatever we encounter. God's grace is sufficient, and God's strength is made perfect in our giving ourselves over to God's power. I am the bread of life. Those, Jesus said, those who take me will never thirst again. Those who receive me will never hunger. We come here to receive the bread of life, the cup of salvation, God's gift poured out for us in Jesus Christ. In weakness, in brokenness, God's grace revealed.